I have nothing in my mind. I don't know about what should I talk. So will you give me some topics to talk about, or question? To be critical to our practice, by our inmost, it means it that is, you know, inmost request itself. But usually, when we become critical to our practice, we have some other purpose in our practice, because we think our practice is not good enough to attain enlightenment, you know. When you become critical, at the same time, usually you have some because you have some other purpose or aim, you become critical, not by inmost request, but by some gaining idea. In this case, to be critical to your practice is not good. But if you think, or if you accept your practice, as a even though it is not perfect, try to be perfect is our inmost request. If so, not to be perfect itself, to be aware of our imperfect practice is itself expression of our inmost request. If you understand this way, that is right understanding. did you understand what I said? I don't know whether I put it in that way or not.
Our inmost request then is a request for perfection.
Mm-hmm. Perfection, though. Perfection is not so good word, but to improve ourselves, knowing that our effort is not strong enough, or we are not sincere enough. That is why we want some example, good example. The good example will encourage our practice, and it will help. Whether or not our practice is good or bad. There's a big difference, you know, just to be critical to ourselves, because we have some gaining idea. This gaining idea is based on some visible merit. But to be satisfied with ourselves is quite a different effort. To be, not to be something else, but to be ourselves, to be thing itself. So gaining idea is not good, but we say gaining idea, it is also gaining idea maybe, but gaining idea to be good is not wrong, it is way-seeking mind. So-called way-seeking mind. Practice Buddhism for sake of Buddhism. That is true practice. Practice Buddhism for sake of something else. And that is gaining idea. Without knowing that, without being satisfied with ourselves, to try to be something else. Sometimes we, you know, we try to escape from our life and to leave somewhere else, and that is not Buddhism. it is quite different. Did I explain it pretty well? Our practice is not like some intoxicating ritual, you know. Many people will mix up at this point. Will mix up way seeking mind and gaining idea. We do not rely on even teaching. We want to be ourselves. And we want to be satisfied ourselves. How to be satisfied ourselves is why we should follow the example, why we should practice. Someone asked his disciple, when the car driven by a horse does not go, which do you whip, a car or a horse? And this is a very tricky question. Of course, he may give a whip to a horse, you know. To give a horse to a whip to the horse is to give a whip to the car, because car and horse is not different, you know. The practice and enlightenment is not different. But sometimes You think the practice and the car, enlightenment, is different thing. The practice is something, some means to attain enlightenment. If you think in this way, you know, the enlightenment is something different from you. So, and you want to be something else because we are so stupid and so imperfect. But stupid one should be stupid. If stupid one is stupid, he is, you know, a useful. But stupid, even though he is stupid, it is his nature to make his effort to be more, to be better. That is his own nature. And he is trying to be satisfied with himself. It looks like he wants to be something else, but actually he wants to be satisfied with he himself. That is true understanding. But if you think he wants to be something else, and if you try to help him, if you try to encourage him to be something else, you will kill him. So this kind of understanding is very important. It is rather hard for you especially to accept this truth, especially when you are young. You are quite stupid. So you should be stupid. When I was young, disciple, my master would call me crooked cucumber. Crooked cucumber was my nickname. And when I enter our university, I couldn't. He said president of the university told us something like this: you have to be satisfied with yourself. Even though you study hard, foolish one is foolish. Intelligent one is intelligent. He always that he would say that in this way. But it was pretty hard to accept, because all of us wanted to be some great teacher. But he said, it is impossible. So the practice is, the purpose of practice is to accept myself. Knowing that all our effort is to accept ourselves, whether we become a great man or not is not the point. When we realize, when we can accept myself, ourselves, we are already one with all the existence. When spring comes, we can enjoy spring flowers. When the summer comes, we can enjoy the cool moonlight. When autumn comes, we can appreciate the beauty of foliage. And in winter, we will appreciate snow. Because when we can accept ourselves, we can accept everything else. There's no self in our mind. What we have is deep mind, deep self. We can treat my body as we treat others. We will treat my own things as we treat others, others. This is how this is a way of Buddhist life.
For the accepting ourselves, we accepting our small mind too.
Small mind? Yeah, to accept small mind too. Knowing that that is small mind. Small, deep mind watching small mind. Yeah. then small mind will work, you know. Don't you think so? Yeah, work. If you know that it's small mind, if you know the nature of the your tool, you can use the tool. If it is small, you can use it. When you cut small things. When you help small-minded person, you should use small mind. Knowing that is small, very small. Some other question.
A few months ago, you said that we always have a problem to live with. Well, since that time, that has become a great problem to me. And is this part of the nature of the functioning of our small mind that it has to always deal in terms of a problem to be solved? It seems for me personally to be almost the crux of the point where in my practice at least I fall into a dualistic way of thinking or a gainful way of thinking. I know sometimes when I'm sitting I fall into problem. If I solve this problem of my breathing, then I will be have changed such and such. And unfortunately, it's always there. I deal with it in many different ways, but it's always a problem to be solved. And it seems to be an inescapable part of my life.
Mm-hmm. Seems to be is right, you know. Seems to be. Not exactly so, but seems to be. That's very good. It seems to be small mind, you know. It seems to be big mind, but actually, it is both big mind and small mind. But when you think this is big mind and this is small mind, there's, you know, duality. Gap. When you want to decide this is good and this is bad, this is small mind, this is deep mind, you have duality already. But actually, there's no big mind without small mind. Big mind is the mind which is working on small mind. If there's no small mind, there's no big mind.
Then problem solving does not necessarily have to be a dualistic activity. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. When you accept the dualistic activity, you know, to accept is to find the oneness. So, when you do not accept it, that is duality. No way to solve it, or that it is just a deluded idea, which will be the cause of trouble. But when you accept it, there is oneness. And the problem is actually solved when you accept it. When you accept the problem, you accept your true nature, which is working on you. When you accept your true nature, you know, fundamentally there's no problem. But as long as we live, moment after moment, we have to work on something. So, problem, dualistic problem, will give you the meaning of life, your life. It is ornament of your life.
Ornamental?
Mm-hmm. Ornamental. Your life will be more colorful. It may be beautiful. That is different. Question. We have 20 minutes more. Please relax.
This lecture is continued on track two from this point.
The question which do you hit? The cat or the horse? Was the question given to Basil by Nanak, the grand direct disciple of the sixth patriarch of China. His famous word is, although you say to the point, it will not be right. That is his famous statement. Although you say quite well, or to the point, it will not be right. It is also double-edged sword. It means, if we, even though you say so, you will not understand it. And that is one meaning. Another meaning is, whatever you say, that is right. Double-edged sword. The sixth patriarch emphasized a pair of opposites. 36, he pointed out 36 pairs of opposites, heaven and earth, good and bad, something like this. I think Nanga also, his practice is his understanding of the teaching is based on also the dualist pair of duality. So according to him, something good is at the same time something which is bad. Good and bad is one, two sides of the one coin. When Nanak was practicing Zazen, Basa was practicing Zazen, Nanak said, "Why do you practice? What is the purpose of your practice?" And he said, "I want to be a Buddha," he said. Is it Nanak, the teacher, picked up a tile and started to polish? Disciple Basa asked the teacher, "Why do you polish a tile? Is it possible? Is it possible to make a tile, to make tile a mirror?" He said. The teacher said, "No, it is impossible." This is a very famous story. To polish a tile. That is our practice. Even though you polish a tile, tile is tile. But to polish is our practice. Whether it doesn't matter, whether it will make a mirror or not. To polish it is our practice, and that is the goal, that is the enlightenment. The effort to polish is based on our true nature. Our true nature makes us polish it. So whether it will make a mirror or not is not the point. But Nanak could not, Basa could not understand it. So the teacher continued. If the car does not go, if the car driven by a horse does not go, to which do you give your whip? That was the question. Because Basa thought a horse is something horse is force, and car driven by a horse is something different. Those are two. Because he thought horse and car is quite different. In other words, practice and to attain enlightenment is different. So he said, "Which do you give your faith?" he understand? If you think, if you practice hard, you will attain enlightenment sooner. If you are lazy in your practice, you will attain enlightenment. Later. This kind of understanding is usual understanding of practice. But actual practice is when you practice that. The practice itself or enlightenment, not separated from enlightenment. Practice is not separated from enlightenment. When you practice it, the practice is the expression of your true nature. Where you practice it, you have your true nature. And so you have to accept that true nature, express on that moment. That is Nanga's suggestion. When you understand this way, you can apply whatever you do, it is expression of true nature. Scientific research, philosophical study, or artistic work, all our culture is expression of our true nature. But if you understand our practice as a means of attaining enlightenment, you cannot apply our practice before you attain enlightenment. But if you have right understanding of practice, whatever you do, that is expression of Buddha nature. There's a big difference. In your understanding, in between those two understandings of practice.